You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Redcasters, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos. Go Big Red.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, Redcast Rob, and I'm here tonight with my other co-host tonight, Abby something.
Hi.
Oh, no hot take for us tonight? Or
just, not yet. We'll see. We'll see how the night goes.
All right. And then very special co-host, I guess always a Husker, once a Husker, always a Husker, and former tight end for our Huskers, Chancellor Brewington. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So I think what I want to do tonight is just kind of do it as a regular Redcast. Only the Redcast guys, except for myself, are not here this evening. But I just want to talk about the current state of the team. We're in a bye week. We're 3-3. You know, the presser was today. Rule said some really interesting things. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. I'd like to talk a little bit about the defense and just how well they're playing. Abby, you're our stats person back there. So I know that you've got, you know, some good analytics for us, you know. She's looking at me like that, like I'm crazy or something, but I know she knows a lot more than she's letting on there. You know, and I'd like to kind of get your take on some of the things that are going on too. For example, maybe what it's like for some of these players that are having to change positions, right? Like going from like wide receiver to running back, or even like, cause yourself, right? You went from wide receiver to tight end when you were over there playing last year. So, those are just some of the things we can get into. You know, we can talk a little bit more about maybe the upcoming game against Northwestern. That's a team that I don't really know a whole lot about, you know, obviously other than like the turmoil they're going through. But they're not a terrible team apparently this year either. Their record, what are they, 2-3 right now? Is that right? So, you know, we can get into that. But, you know, let's start out. I'll throw up the graphic there and we can start talking a little bit about this offense and kind of some of the things that we're seeing on there. All right. So, you know, coming out of this game, you know, it was a win. And I think I'd be lying if I said that it didn't 100% feel like a win should. I think that's the easiest way to put it, right? I mean,
right.
You know, we had the W. It was a great way to start the weekend. You knew you were going to wake up on Saturday and, you know, the W was still going to be there. They're not going to take that away from us. But there was a lot of things going on with this offense that, you know, I think a lot of these players are being used in a certain way that they're kind of being forced to have to do with a lot of these injuries that keep happening, right? We lost our top two running backs. We're losing wide receivers either to retiring from football, going into the transfer portal, or injury. You know, our tight ends are stepping up, right? Fedoni has, what, like 2 or 3 touchdowns now this year. He's got some amazing catches out there on the field. It's almost like he's a freshman out there because he hasn't really had a chance to play. You know, what are some of your observations, Chancellor, about what's going on out there on the offensive side of the ball, coming from the offensive side of the ball when you were a player?
Yeah, I think the first thing you look at is, you know, the depth that was last year and the guys that you lose going into the season. I think from a starting lineup standpoint or even the 2-deep, you know, Marcus is out, so now there's no receiver that played last year. There's, you know, you got Bork. Bork played, you know, quite a few snaps last year. You got Thomas, this is his first year. But O-line wise, there's a couple new pieces. But you know, and then in the running back room, 3 guys who really got snaps are A.G., Gabe, and
Ramirez.
Who's the last one? Dallas. Yep. Ramirez. Yep. Ramirez. And so obviously with those guys going down, prayers to them. I know that's a tough situation. Just looking at it. And then the most key piece is the quarterback, of course, right? And I think Heinrich is doing a phenomenal job on with what he's been given and the circumstances he's been placed in, especially with the new offensive coordinator, still trying to find out the identity, who we're going to be, how are we going to be effective. But it's been fun to watch. Guys are going to be thrown in new roles. Guys are going to be elevated coming up here soon. So it's just going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, too, because you said it, and we're six games into a season. We have no idea what our identity is. And, of course, it's probably not even going to look the same, you know, going forward, right? We're going to continue to try and grow. But Rule kind of indicates that, you know, he's not going to open the playbook for these guys if they can't get the plays that they're doing right, correct? So, I mean, you know, especially with the turnovers and the fumbles and the almost turnovers in a lot of situations, you know, and – you know, it's Abby, that's something that I think everyone's a little bit concerned about. But also, you know, let's look at it. Like, what are some of the positive things that you're seeing on your end? Like, when you watch the games and you see the team, you know, running, you know, marching down the field, you know, not only scoring, but like, what are some of the things you're seeing that you like or that you'd like to continue to work
with? Yeah, I think going with what Chancellor said, like, I think Heinrich looks really good for basically being a freshman. Like, He's never even played in a college game before. I don't even think he got into that 2021 Northwestern game. I don't think they put him in for that. So you've got a kid who has taken no game snaps, and I think he's done really well. There are things like his throwing motion drives me crazy every time, and I get it. Like, I don't know. I read somewhere that's not how he threw in high school, and you can see that he can throw those really nice, pretty high, deep balls. But I just like that everybody on the team is playing tough and they're not playing scared. And not that – I don't want to say the team that we've ever played scared before, but I think you see a real willingness to, like, put your shoulder down, do what has to get done, run those extra couple of yards, keep churning. And I think that's been the most impressive thing that I've seen out of them. And that's out of everybody, out of Heinrich and AG and even just, you know, I call them our baby receivers, but, you know, our wide receiving core. Like, you see them – trying and running through their routes and doing the things they're supposed to be doing. And so that's what I've been the most impressed with, is just the, a lot like the volleyball team, like you can't tell the volleyball team that they're young because they don't play that way. And it almost at times feels like you can't tell this offense that they're new because they don't, you see glimpses where they play like they're not, and they play like they've been playing together. And I think that's really encouraging, especially going into the next few weeks. Will be a good opportunity for him to really kind of continue to gain that experience.
Yeah. And if you had it on your bingo card, Redcasters, for when Abby would mention the volleyball team, you can go ahead and take your shot now, because, you know, it's I was curious, and we are about seven and a half minutes in. She brought up volleyball, which is great, because the volleyball team is still number two in the nation. They are undefeated. I don't even know what the record is, because it doesn't matter, because they haven't lost, and that's all that really matters, right? You go into every week 0-0. One of the things that I'm noticing on the offensive side, I think, that I really like right now is the way that our wide receivers are blocking on the field, and not just some of the wide receivers, but all the wide receivers. There was one of the touchdowns, and I'm trying to remember who ran it in, because I was watching everything else going on in the field at the time, but Malachi. He threw a block on one of those end zone runs where, I mean, that's not something that you normally see out of a freshman wide receiver, right? I mean, you might see out of freshman a lot of other positions, but he's been out there throwing blocks, getting blocks, and looking like he's earning his playing time, you know. And Chancellor, that's a position I think that you hold close to your heart, and you know, it's a you know, what's that like getting out there, like, as a wide receiver and basically knowing that, like, 60-70% of your role is to get out there and, you know, block on the outside and you know, make sure that guys are able to get down the field farther?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely selfless. At the end of the day, you have to look at it like, you know, as a young guy coming into college, I've been there where, you know, you just came from getting 70, 80 balls your senior year, then all of a sudden you're kind of not the one number one target, and you have to create momentum for yourself. And how you do that is in the run game, getting involved with that. And it's all about effort. At the end of the day, run blocking is all about effort, especially on the outside as a receiver. It's not there's technique aspects to it, but it's really just about effort and will. And it's cool, man, to see freshman receivers go in there and do their thing. The one thing I'll say is it's all about gaining confidence week by week, play by play, catch by catch. You know, we saw him get his first catch, and then Malachi get his first catch. And then all of a sudden, you know, you kind of see the confidence creep in. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gets the ball back in his hands. And that's really how it starts at any level, just gaining momentum each game and gaining confidence.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that catch was nice, too. It was a nice little out route. You know, he caught it. I think it was like a, 7-8 yard catch or something like that that he got down the field and caught that. And I was texting with his mom and dad during the game. They were at the game. They haven't missed a game yet this year. And I was like, he caught it. Like, I didn't know what else to say. You know, I was so excited because we had been texting about it, you know, basically for the whole season. And I mean, just the text message, I mean, they had to just be beaming, right? Because they're the best people. You know, Craig and Miranda are just really good people. And it's always cool to kind of see the way that this team is developing under Coach Rhule, right? And I don't know if you had a chance to meet him or talk to him at all, you know, in his time since he's come in here at all. But, you know, some of the things that I'm really seeing for him, and it's a word, and Abby, and I've gone on with Abby about this before, there's a word I hate, but I'm going to use it, is the culture that he's creating. You know, I just feel like it's such a buzzword that it bugs me. But, you know, the culture he's creating around this team, and not just with the players, it's the coaches, you know, it's most of the fan base, you know, a lot of just even outside of Husker Nation, a lot of people, the way that they're talking about it, it's not just kind of like, you don't feel like there's a lot of snark towards the team anymore, right? You feel like there's actually like this, okay, Rhule is kind of taking this team the right direction and he's doing the right thing. And I'm curious, like, again, from your perspective, like, you know, kind of what do you see that's going on that might be different from, you know, previous years?
Yeah, I would just say it's definitely a culture thing. We were just talking about run blocking. You can kind of tell a little bit on, especially as an offense, but also as a team, how selfless the team is based on how the receivers block downfield. That's kind of a staple in the offense. That's something we used to talk about, and it's to see them actually executing it. That there's only one answer to why that's happening. You know, first of all, the things that Coach Rhule is doing are tremendous, and the guys are buying into it, and they're playing at a high level. And when you believe in a system, when you believe in what the head man is saying, when you believe in what the coaches are preaching, it spreads. It's a positive infectious environment in the locker room, and then that trickles down to the way you practice. The way you practice, that trickles down to the way that you prepare for the game. The way you prepare for the game and influence and ultimately causes you to perform well on Saturday. So. Man, I just, it's been fun to watch, man.
Yeah. Well, speaking of watching, and Abby, I know you have something. It looked like you were about to say something.
So. I have a question, and maybe you can't answer it. So let me know. If you could have had another year of eligibility, would you have come back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. I mean, no, it's just because, you know, some people are like, no, I'm done. Like, it's cool. I've been through enough coaching changes. I'm ready to be done. So
never.
Never done.
Yeah, what are you doing with your time right now? I guess I know this is supposed to be an interview, but I guess, you know.
Oh, no. No, I'll be – the XFL and USFL just merged, so I was going to play on a USFL team, so we're just figuring out which team it's going to be. But, yeah, I'm still playing. So, to answer your question, I would have for sure came back if that opportunity was still there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And was it – did you just not get the COVID year? Is that what happened or –
Yeah, it was something funny with, you know, I have my whole career, I've had about six surgeries. And but at my previous school, I had two season ending injuries, and usually you're granted another year. But one of them fell on the COVID 2020 year. So they viewed that as, I don't know, they viewed it as basically it didn't happen. So, it, you know, NCAA does things like that.
They do.
You know?
Yeah, they do what they do.
And, is it nice to be able to say that now and not? We all share the feelings. It's okay.
Well, that's cool. So, yeah, you just got to let everyone know, and I'm sure you will, like, once you actually, you know, get on a team, because that'll be my team, man. That's who I'll root for. Sure. I don't have an extra fellow team or anything like that. You know, everyone here with the Redcast knows I'm a big Raider fan. So I had a really good weekend this week.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And you're in Lincoln right now too, right? You're
Yeah, just for a couple of weeks, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I saw you were looking for a cameraman. Oh, so Redcasters, anyone listening, anyone listening to the show later once we put out on podcast, if you know a good cameraman or anything like that, in the Lincoln area, hit up Chancellor, because he's looking for somebody for something, and I'm sure he's got something brewing. I'll sit down. Okay, so another thing I want to bring up too, and it was one of the big concerns for before the season, I think, for a lot of people, was our offensive line, right? While we're still talking offense. And one of the things that I will say is that, you know, because I tend to try to take a look at more of the positive stuff. We are one of the top teams in the country rushing the ball this year, right? And that's one of the things that is the identity of Nebraska revolves around rushing the football. You know, some of the pass protection obviously isn't right where we need it to be or want it to be, but at the same time, you know, we're kind of figuring out a little bit of identity with this running the ball and running some of the option and everything. You know, what are you guys seeing out of that right now that you think working in on the bye week that we might be able to just continue to push forward with?
I think the level of play is going up each week in all aspects. You know, it really does not matter where you start off, because live bullets are live bullets and there's nothing like it. You can try to simulate it in camp, but there's really nothing like live bullets. At the end of the day, I think it boils down to the coaching, man. If guys are getting better throughout the year, that means they're getting coached well. And that means they're taking in the coaching. So that also reflects on the player as well. So I just see a lot of guys on both sides of the ball, their level of play going up. So ultimately, when you have a good team, first has a defense. And I know we'll talk about that, of course.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
The next part goes to obviously quarterback play, and then it goes to kind of how does the offensive line dominate the line of scrimmage. So we're seeing them get better and better, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's kind of all you can ask on a football team, is for your O-line to get better and better, and they're doing that. So as a pure fan, not even as a former player, I would look at things and say, man, I feel good about where this is going, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's good too. And I think I can say that you'll never be 100% pure fan, because you have been a player. So you know what it takes out there to do it. And I don't know if you saw this comment from one of our listeners. It's watching right now, Greg. It says, does the USFL know they're getting an assassin? So, you know,
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. And Hus Jerry said they've been put on alert. So it's a, yeah, that's good. I like that a lot. Yeah, they're also getting a good guy. That's probably the best part about it. You know, all right. Now let's talk about the most controversial aspect of our offense so far. And I think that for me, there's no controversy. I know who my starter is right now, just based off of the fact that, you know, he's 3-1 and he's been out there, and he obviously looks really confident on the field, and that's Harburn. But you know, we also got Sims out there, and you know, all these people all over social media think they know the best answer about what's going on. And I think that Rule best said it best today when he said that, you know, right now, if we had to start the game today and play, Harburg would be the starter. But come after all these practices and come the game for Northwestern, he's not going to announce who the starter is too far ahead of time, except for right before the game, because he wants these guys to maintain a competitive edge and continue to work harder and harder. Right. And
I didn't know that. I just learned that.
Yeah. So there you go, man. Well, breaking news for you. Cause last time you were on, you broke news to me that you were actually going to get to play because you were recovering from your surgery. And then I think Sam McEwen over at the Omaha World Herald, Steve Sipple the next day, a few other guys in the media, like actually,
I didn't even know they actually really did listen to the show. I thought they were full of it, but they basically came right out after your interview and were like, it's announced he's playing. And I was like, oh my God, I broke news right there on the podcast.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So he did say that today in his press conference. That was one of the things that he touched on, you know, and I like that. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I like that attitude. I think Henrik has really proven himself to just be a gamer out there. Does he have the best arm? No. But when, man, some of those throws that he makes, they're on a rope. You know what I mean? They've just got some zip behind them. They're not always accurate, but they're getting more accurate. You can see in the game against Illinois this week, some of those, you know, routes over the middle that he's been throwing, you know, just trying to like open guys up, get them on slants. You know, he's getting a lot more accurate. Did he almost throw a few interceptions? Yes. Did he throw any interceptions? No. So, I mean, that's, you know what I mean? It's like if his wide receivers can't catch it, I guarantee you a DB is not catching it. Right. I mean, that's why they're DBs. Throw one last week?
Yeah. Alex just knocked that guy down in like one of the hardest hits.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That live and like you could just hear everybody just go, oh, because it was.
That's right. I just, you know, it's, but,
I'm sorry.
But for
I
me,
don't mean to burst your bubble, but.
Oh, no, that's okay. And I don't, I mean, I, again, I try really hard to stay positive and not look at the negative. So I don't always pay attention to turnovers, right?
It was a good hit by Alex. So we'll give that's the positive in that.
Yeah, that's the positive on that. It gave an offensive guy a chance to lay the hit. But, you know, from that, like, what's your perspective? Because it's so great to know that we have a backup like Sims, right? I mean, a guy with that much playing experience right now, if he even stays a backup, maybe he's 100% healthy and gets to come into the game and plays against Northwestern. But, you know, our quarterback situation has been one that has just gone back and forth, you know, with the fan base, at least at this point. And, you know, I'm just curious what you guys think about that too.
I know.
What you got. No, nobody's got anything to say about it.
No,
go ahead, Abby.
I was gonna say, like, I feel like mine is so just like hedging my bets, but I just trust Rule that it's gonna be whoever does the best, like whoever he thinks gives us the best opportunity. I would like to see if Jeff is back to 100%. I would like to see him back out there. I'd like to see, you know, like maybe that was. I don't want to say like pre-game, you know, like early game jitters. Maybe that was things like the crowd and just all of that. So I would like to see him back out there to see what he, you know, like what he can do, because I do think he can do good things for us. So I don't know. I mean, I think Henrik will start, but I wouldn't be mad if Jeff started. I just think like, I don't know. I'm a trust my coach kind of person, and they see practice. They see all of that more than anybody else does. So for any of us to be like, well, no, but Jeff's not good, but we don't know that. They're like, we don't know really what's happening. So
yeah,
my guess is Henrik, but if Jeff's 100, I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff doesn't start.
Yeah, I think, I agree with everything you just said. I think it's cool. It's cool because we didn't even talk about Chuba. You know, all three of those guys can be playing, you know. I've seen enough from Jeff, and I know what we've seen from Henrik, and I've obviously been with Chuba and seen him play. All three of those guys can go be playing, you know, Division I football at another school and be the starting quarterback, leading a program, you know, and being a captain of the team. So shout out to all of them. That's the tough thing about quarterback. There's only one guy who plays usually. So you don't get to see everyone. It's not like tight end where three guys usually play a game, or linebackers, six guys might play a game. So obviously it's a dominant position, and it's the most important position in football. And, you know, what we've been seeing from Henrik is first of all, he's winning. That's not to take away from, not to say that Jeff can't win or Chuba can't win. That's not what I'm saying. But the fact is he is winning. So, you know, and he does some exciting stuff and unique stuff. He's a dynamic player. He's an explosive player. So it's going to be fun to watch. And I wouldn't be surprised if coming up we see some this next game we see some two quarterback sets here. So I'll be honest. I think the way University of Kansas has done some stuff, the just the way they've implemented having two dynamic quarterbacks and two dynamic athletes at that, because at the end of the day, Jeff can run the football, and so can Heinrich. So I wouldn't be surprised if Northwestern, we all of a sudden we see Jeff going at quarterback and Heinrich line up at wing, or we see Jeff at quarterback and Heinrich come in motion from the slot. So that's something I wouldn't be surprised, and I would love to see it, because you can do so many cool things from an offense perspective. But yeah, they're both great football players. I think Heinrich's playing good right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything either one of you said. And Chuba, I'm sorry if you happen to listen to the show. I wasn't trying to leave you out, and I think you are perfectly capable and very useful quarterback on this team. And quite frankly, if it came down to it and you had to play, I'd have all the confidence that you would be able to run this offense. So please don't come at me. So I think we've talked about the offense plenty. I mean, and it's funny, I started thinking about it too, and this is a perfect time to be doing a show like this too, because we're six games into the season, halfway through, we're halfway to a bowl game, right? And we've got some winnable games. As also something Coach said today is there's not a team in our schedule we can't beat, and there's not a team on our schedule that can't beat us. So, you know, it's basically, he's looking at it as like every single game we got to go out there and play that team. Like, you know, they're absolutely capable of winning the game as well. And I do like that. And that being said, the backbone of this team so far has been the black shirts. And so we'll throw the bones here and, you know, talk a little bit about this defense and some of the things that we're seeing out of them that we have not seen from Husker Nation in a few years, at least. Right. One thing that I'm really liking, and a name that I hear a lot every single time I watch the game, is Nash Huntmacher, right? Huntmacher, Huntmacher. I'm still not, like, I hear it 10 different ways, and I'm just going to say Huntmacher because, you know, I'm sure it's got its European roots in there. But, you know, that's a guy that there, like, a couple years ago when during the spring game when he was a freshman, I was in town in Lincoln watching the spring game, and I met his mom and dad in the lobby, and his dad is just as big as he is. I don't know if you've met him before. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, my God, if this kid can pull it together and be the player who we think he should be, he's going to really show us something, because he could end up like an NFL talent. And this year, the way that he's playing, he could very easily end up NFL talent. I mean, he is just a run stopper in the middle. He's plugging everything up. He's taking on tacklers and still making or taking on blockers and still making tackles. This D line, this 3-3-5 defense that we got going, you know, it seems to be working really well against the run. Sans one game that we will not talk about. It will be our Voldemort. And, I think that something that we're seeing and stopping the run in the Big Ten West is probably the number one thing a defense has to know how to do, right? Winning the trenches. So, outside of that, I think that we need to continue to focus on that as our defense and make sure that they let this defense take us to a lot of wins this year. But, you know, I'm really liking what I see, and I'd love to kind of get from you guys what you're seeing there when you're watching the game, because I've kind of stopped paying attention to a lot of different things in the game this year that I normally pay attention to, because I've been watching the trenches so much and just watching those guys get in car accidents play after play after play. You know, it's been a lot of fun to see. So, I mean, you were in those trenches a little bit, right? Offense and on the offensive side of the ball. So tell us a little bit about that, what you're seeing, because I've watched some of your YouTube videos and when you're watching the games and the way you react and see things. So what are you seeing when you're watching that?
Like you said, Nash, Ty, the freshman, Von Popo, I think his name,
Riley.
And then the way I don't want to miss anyone, the way Cam's playing, the way Prince is playing, the way Jamar, like all them guys up front, the three down linemen, including the Jack, the way they're playing and getting pushback and blowing up a lot of runs is really key in a 3-3-5. If you don't have a strong line presence in 3-3-5, it's really easy to run the football. But if you don't have that, and it's if you do have that, then it's really easy to stop the run. You got so like it is a thing though. Like I'd be really looking at the games and really watching them. And obviously I have relationships with guys on the team, but putting that aside and just purely looking at it from a football perspective, there's so many guys playing high level football, you know? And then also, you know, you start the year off and guys are in the right position. Guys are real close to making plays, and all of a sudden they're getting turnovers and they're in the right position, but they're also getting the turnovers and executing. Now you're seeing forced fumbles or fumble recoveries. Now you're seeing picks and things like that. So, you know, starting from like the linebacker position, you got, I'm obviously going to say my dog, Javon Wright, not even because my dog, but he's playing high level football. And if you go and look at tackle percentage, you want to look at cover snaps, you want to look at any type of grade, he's playing amazing. And then the secondary, Giff had a fantastic game. Q's playing at a high level. I think MC's playing at a high level. I think Omar's really showing people what he can do. And then also, you know, I missed all the other linebackers. The way John Bullock stepped up, Makai.
Well, they're playing like 22, 23 guys a game.
Literally. Rotating. So it's like.
No, they literally.
And it's like every time they get in, they're making a play. Like it's never a time where like we haven't seen someone who's came in, they haven't made a play. Like think about that. Like there's sometimes when you watch a game, like I didn't really see him like make a play. Like I could literally break down every player that came into the Illinois game and what play they made and affected the game. So that's so special.
It's crazy too, because I think you mentioned Giff and Judy as well. You know what I mean? Those guys, like you know, they're out there just blowing it up. You know, they're making the other team's offense, you know, do things that maybe they're not comfortable doing. You know, forcing Illinois to throw the ball, you know, a lot more than they were forcing him to throw because I can't run, right? I think there was a guy on Twitter that made a comment something like in the offseason that, you know, oh, Illinois was going to blow Nebraska out by 30 points. And I bookmarked it and I retweeted it and I said, 30 points? I said, bro, you couldn't even get 30 yards rushing. You know, I mean, I think they're in the first drive, they had like 23 yards rushing and they ended up with like 21 or something like that total for the game. Yeah. So, I mean, that tells you how well our run defense was. You know, but Gifford, I think I even threw a tweet out there during the game as I was live tweeting everything. And I said, I think Gifford individually won this game on the defensive side for us on the ball at least 6 different times.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I mean, it seemed like that guy was there. I mean, if one guy was making a tackle, Gifford was there assisting on it, right? It just felt like that was what was going on there. And I agree with you 100% that these guys are just out there. Everyone's making plays. They're all over the field. You're hearing all the different names. There's times where every single player on the defensive line that's out there is either a redshirt freshman or a true freshman playing on the defense, like for like, you know, 2 or 3 plays in a row, right? On the rotations. Like, where else are you going to see that in the country right now, right? Like, where is that going to be something you see? And Abby, how are you feeling about that a little bit? Like, you know, what are you seeing? Because that's some of my favorite things are just watching those lines just blow up the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, beautiful. Putting pressure on a quarterback, which it feels like it's been a long time since that's been consistent. I did have a note that it was just like, we get to him, but goddamn, we can't Sorry. For sure, we can't tackle. We just couldn't seem to tackle him. But I think we've seen that that's improved this season. So, it's, yeah, we kind of give a little bit of that. Yeah, I just think watching those guys just fly to the ball is what I grew up watching with Nebraska football. I can't say we. So that's the defense that, like, when it came out against Minnesota and when we saw it for every 99% of the games that we played so far this year, and that's the way our defense has played the entire game, that's been the best part. And so I think even, like, thinking back to that very first drive, and we watched it happen in the stands, and everybody around us were just like, oh no, this is going to be a long game. What is going to happen? And then getting a 4th-and-1 stop on the goal line, but 4th-and-0.5, I think is what Bert decided to call it. Like, great, good. And I told the person, I told my boyfriend, I was like, that's it. We're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. It doesn't matter. They're not going to stop us. We've done it. This, like, somehow right in that very first place, seeing the way that the defense came together and just seemed like there was like, nah, nope, not doing it, was enough for me to show that the growth of our defense, that it gave me enough confidence. And Luke, I mean, obviously Gifford played well. Phelan Sanford played so well coming in and having played defense really for the first time. And just like huge shout, Omar Brown is like slowly becoming my very favorite person to watch on the field, because I think every single game he's had some major impact play. And I'm just, it's that thing of just like, you're so proud. For me, it's just like, oh, you're so proud when there's that one person who just keeps getting better and keeps showing what he's made of. And that's one that I can think of every game just off the top of my head. It's like, oh, I mean, Omar's just coming to life this season. And I think that's so great for him.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, there was one point, I think through like 2 or 3 games, we were one of the top teams in the nation in sacks. And then, you know, there's a whole injuries on the defensive side of the ball that you know, obviously you could tell those guys were making an impact, and then we needed them, and then we got them back. And sure enough, you know, against Illinois, I mean, we were wrecking balls on that side of the ball. And something that Husk Jerry put up, and I just put it up here, he said, tackling seems like night and day difference. Haven't really had too many missed tackles. More, wow, that was a really nice wrap up than anything. And I will say that that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed for the defense this year too, is the fact that they are wrapping guys up. They're not just trying to use their shoulders to knock them down. You know, they're actually getting in there. And every time there's a tackle made, there's 2, 3, 4, 5 guys right there making that tackle with them at the end. You know, they're not, it's not just one guy trying to bring a guy down. You know, it's 4 guys bringing that guy down once the ball carrier's wrapped up. And it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, and a lot of these DBs, we're not hearing their names as much, because the fact of the matter is like, you know, it's just, if you don't hear a DB's name, that's good. That means that they're not getting the ball caught against them. Right. So that's one of the things that I kind of look for, you know, and again, the entire defensive side of the ball, it just feels like it's a machine right now. Is that a good word to use? It's a machine, no. Man. It's like, it seems like there's a lot of working parts. It scared me a lot going into the season. I'll be honest, because, you know, I was watching a lot of like White's previous film from like Syracuse and some other places that he'd been, and just kind of, and I was like, wow, like, you know, good defenses, but they're all over the ball. And, you know, it doesn't always feel like, okay, in the ACC, how is this going to translate to the Big Ten? Right. Because everyone knows that, you know, the running the ball and how is this going to work here? And it's like night and day. I mean, if he had a resume of how to run his defense, he can throw all that out, I think, as far as I'm concerned, and just use this year about what a 3-3-5 should look like. Right. I mean, it's just been something, it's been a thing of beauty. And, you know, it's a lot of teams try to build from the offensive side of the ball and then, you know, and try to score more points than the other team. And I think the best way to score more than the other team is to keep the other team from scoring. Right. And we're doing a pretty darn good job of that. I'd use a different word, but this is a family show.
And I already did. Sorry.
Oh, you did. Did you? Oh man.
You did. I apologize for it right away. But it's
great. Fine. Now we're going to get flagged on YouTube and you know, going there. Is there anything else from the defense? It's nice because I could say, let's break it down by position, you know, linebacker, all this, but
I think, you know, calling it a machine and saying like how well they're playing all together is a pretty good way of putting it, right? I mean, it's like you really can't say enough about them, but it's really easy to just kind of sum them up. You know, but one of the things that I'd like to do too here, and I know, like I said, this isn't an interview, Chancellor, but your YouTube channel, man, right now, you know, is a thing of just beauty as well, man. It's like a well-oiled machine, and I go back and I watch clips of it, and you know, I've been catching it, and you know, how did you come up with this idea just to sit there, watch the game, record yourself watching the game? Because the reactions that you have on some of those is just, I mean, if anyone needs a good smile, you know, tune in. I'll let you kind of tell everyone what you're doing out there.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even going to turn into that. But I was going, it was a Thursday night game for the Minnesota. I was like, I don't know, I should just do like a little YouTube video on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just like talk about it. And then I did it, and you know, it got some clicks and stuff, and we've been doing all right. But you know, we're slowly like gonna start showing like different sides of some players, and just some things like not really football related, but just life at the end of the day. Cause I think football and life go hand in hand. When you intertwine those, that's how you become a great football player. So showing that side, showing someone's life, how they look at things and stuff like that later on the line. But what we have been doing is just breaking down games. And I actually get to talk like I'm in the film room, like I'm watching it with a coach or watching it with a player, and just literally saying, you know, I might call out a play, or, oh, I think they're doing this, or think they're doing that. Maybe sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But yeah, it's just been fun to know the guys, know how hard they work, know the ins and outs. You know, obviously not saying too much, but just being able to react to the videos, it's been fun, man.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of is the Peyton cast, right? Like on Monday Night Football, that's exactly what it brings to mind, right? Where, you know, Peyton and Eli are on there, because that's what I watch when I watch Monday Night Football now. Except for last night. So when my team's playing, I can't. I get weird, man. If I'm not at the game, I sit alone watching the games. I don't watch them with other people. I get invited to go places. I just hole up in the basement usually, or like I'll do like housework, like fold laundry while I'm watching the game, because like idle hands, I just, you know, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to kill me. And I'm an old man. I don't want to have a heart attack or anything. So I got to keep myself moving. And last night I actually went to the gym for the entire first half of the Raider game, and like the entire second quarter I was on the treadmill running. So like I can't sit and watch a game like that, because half the things I say are not appropriate for anywhere. And there's probably X-rated videos out there that don't have half as many bad words as what I say when I'm watching football games by myself. So it's pretty crazy. But Abby, I know you've been enjoying it.
It's my favorite part of post games is watching them. And I do, and like I think I even asked you this, of like, is this what it's like to break down film? Because clearly I have no experience with that. I've never had to like break down film. So it's really interesting to watch not just a fan reaction, because you do, especially this last one, like it was a fan reaction, which was great. And like standing up at the end, yes, that is exactly how we all watch it. Well, not all of us, I do. I don't sit ever. It's just too stressful for me. But just like all of that's really fun to watch. But then what I really enjoy and what I've sent to my dad are the like the breakdowns of other games, where it's like watch this, he's gonna call out like what could be played here, like why this, like why the defenders are lining up here, why we're running this route, all of that. And I find that to be really interesting, because obviously no experience in it, and it just helps me just understand the game a little bit, not in the moment because I can't watch that way, but then watching back, I feel like that just helps explain a lot more, and maybe why like we get frustrated when things don't work out. It's like, well, here's maybe why it didn't work out. Like,
exactly.
So yeah. I love that. I think that that's so informative. And I don't know if, you know, when you're done with USFL and wherever else your college or your football playing career takes you, I think you would be a phenomenal coach from that teaching, if nothing else, from that teaching aspect, because I think I just think it's so helpful and so informative, and I love them. Yes, I love those. And I love the little interviews. I'm assuming that you're going to get a 72 question interview one of these.
Yeah, days. I'll get. Yeah, eventually.
I don't even know a person on this earth that would want to ask me 72 questions.
They're really good.
I don't even know if there's 72 interesting things about my entire life that I would put out there. Actually, there probably are, but we don't have to get into that right now. I agree. And if anything too, you could possibly have a career in television doing exactly what you're doing, especially with the way that a lot of these, analysts in these shows are going, you know, like I said, it reminds me a lot of, you know, Peyton and Eli doing the Monday night broadcast, just listening to you talk, and they break it down and then they have guests on, right? Like, while
yeah, no, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's that. And, yeah, I mean, is there anything, I mean, special teams, do we want to talk special teams? I mean,
Brian's fun the ball good.
Yeah.
And our coverage has been amazing.
Nobody's run. Yeah. We haven't kicked it to the wrong side of the field yet.
We've got a true freshman
who's back there kicking, and we doing all
a fantastic
know
fantastic job.
Yeah, he's, I mean, you know what I mean? Has he been perfect? No, but you know what? He hasn't cost us a game yet, as far as I know. So I mean, it's at least as far as I'm concerned, I should say, you know, and some of our losses, though, the reason that we've lost is not because of him, you know, and that's something I'm looking forward to. But special teams has not been something I've been super concerned about watching this team, which is exactly how you want special teams to be, right? You know, kick it off, receive it, set it up for the offense, set it up for the defense, whatever it is that you need to do. And that's that. I mean, that's exactly how it should be. Thoughts on that at all?
It's a good day. Yeah, special teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, because usually when there's, you know, when you're not really talking about special teams, all of a sudden you look up and like, oh, we're like 10th in punt coverage, or we're whatever. That means guys are just doing their job, and that's the culture of what I'm seeing on the team. Just the outside looking in, not even taking what I know from the guys or whatever. Just outside looking in, I'm like, well, just watching on Saturdays, Fridays, Thursdays, whenever they play, it's clear that details in the way you practice are being stressed. You know, someone was talking about tackling in one of the comments, that the only way you learn how to tackle, not even from the offense, not even from the defense side, but learning how to get tackled. And there's a certain way you fall. There's a certain way to limit injuries in that way, shape, or form. But just the way they're practicing is influencing the way they're playing. And, you know, obviously practice makes perfect, but in football, it really does matter the way you practice and the intensity you practice with.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And
even though it sucks sometimes. It's not fun. Yeah, it's not fun.
Special teams isn't fun.
It's more intentional right now, and that's a good feeling.
Well, I just like that Rule's philosophy was like, if you want to play for me, you're going to play special teams. You know what I mean? Like, and said the guys that get playing time are the guys that are going to play special teams. And I like that. You know what I mean? I like seeing guys that normally would run off the field, you know, on a third down, or, you know, on a fourth down or on a kickoff, are staying on the field, you know, to play that down. That says a lot, right? I mean, just it the buy-in, I think, is that the buzzword I want to use right there, the buy-in that the players are getting, you know, on that end. What else do we, is there anything else that hasn't been covered tonight that we want to talk about at all? Do we want to like look forward to Northwestern here in a couple of weeks? And like, you know, I mean, I don't want to do score predictions at this point, because it's a long 2 weeks, and I'm going to sleep good this weekend. I'm actually going to get some work done around the house and maybe watch some other games, but not have to worry about a win or a loss. And then the following week, I'm headed off to Disneyland. So taking the whole family out there for 5 nights and 4 days. So that's going to be a good time. Let me know if you know anyone who wants to come and feed my cat. you know, leaving that long, you know, I mean, Northwestern is an interesting team. You know what? They're 3-3 right now. They are, you know, they are going, just, they had a coaching change. We don't need to get into all of that, drama, but you know, that's a team that Nebraska, traditionally, it's like, you know, it's a 50-50 game for us. You know, it's been a while since we've beaten them. I think it's been a year
a year, over a year since we
2021 we beat them.
That's right, fairly well. It was like 56 to something.
Just
right?
A touch of a win. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit. I was at Red Rocks watching 311 that night, and like I think that was a good night. That was a good night. And then but you know, last year we don't need to talk about that at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think we're done talking about special teams for the night. And then you know, I hope you had a nice time in Ireland though, Chancellor. I hope that was a fun experience for you.
It was terrible.
And we had talked probably like a month or two before that, right? Because we had talked about what that was going to be like over there and everything. We don't need to bring that up. That's the last I'll bring that up right there. And then after that, we got Purdue, right? And then the week after that, we've got Michigan State. And so I know Coach said that these are teams that could beat us or teams that we could beat them, but I really feel like these are very winnable games. I feel like we could go 3-0 and make ourselves bowl eligible, leaving like the rest of the season up for basically just to go out there and play their asses off. You know, how are you guys looking at the remaining schedule of the last six games?
Same way. I mean, I think there are three or four winnable games on our schedule. Let me say this. I agree with Rule. I agree with him that there's no team we can't beat. I think there are teams we have a better chance of beating than others left on our schedule. I think is the nice way to say that. But I mean, I think especially if our defense continues to play the way they played this week, we are in every game. We're in every game. And that's all we need, right? It's just to be in every game. I am on the path to six exists, and I think the path to six exists in the next 4 weeks over our next three games, for sure. And after that, it's just gravy, except Iowa, which I obviously...
Which, man, we better beat Iowa. By the way, congratulations on breaking that streak last year and beating Iowa. Right, let's talk about that, because that was an amazing win. That's a great way to finish your Husker career, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was fun. but going back to that, I think you know, just looking at Northwestern, I just saw their box score from last week, and you know, just it's interesting. You know, you can only tell so much from a box screen without looking at the actual film. I think they barely beat Howard. I think Howard, you know, if I'm correct, isn't Howard an HBCU? Or is that the same Howard?
It might be. I'm not.
So that's an FCS school?
Yeah, it might be an FCS school. It was an FCS because there was no – it was FCS because there's no line on the game.
It is. It is HBCU.
Yeah, it was. Okay, there was no line on
there. Yeah, and not to disrespect FCS, I came from FCS, so I can speak on it. But the level of football, a Big Ten team should there should be no back and forth really with a Big Ten team, unless you're playing, you know, some explosive offense and all of a sudden, you know, it's something like that. But so that's an alarming stat for them. And then I think they had a close game with Duke. But if you just look at where we're going, and I think that's the main focus. You just got to focus on what we're doing, because any given Sunday, any given Saturday, you can go out and win. And the one thing that makes winning so possible and so real and a realistic thing is a fantastic defense. And we have that. No matter what happened 2 weeks ago, we are a fantastic defense. We have fantastic pieces, starting with a fantastic coach that is doing the right things. And looking at it from offensive perspective, there's like not a lot of things that are open. There's not a lot of holes that they have. I can't really name a hole. Even if I had one in my head, I couldn't really name one. And that's the thing, though. When you have a fantastic defense, it's gonna cause your offense to have to elevate. That's what happens. You don't go throughout the locker room. You don't go throughout practice, and the offense just kind of stays here. When the defense is playing at that high of a level, the offense eventually has to come on, and it will. And I think that's the exciting part, is that week by week, the offense is going up a little bit. I don't know if y'all see it, but it's slowly going up. It's going up a little bit. We're starting to see, okay, now we're we complete a shot on the goal line to start the game off. Like that, we haven't seen that yet. You know what I'm saying? And things like that. So, you know, we go ahead and win Northwestern, and offense finally clicks the way I know it will, and the way I know those guys can play. And then you go ahead and who we got next? Purdue.
Yeah.
You put it on Purdue. Come out of there with a win, and all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks later, we're looking like a brand new team on the offensive side. Not to say they weren't good in the first place, but their game is going up. And then you go into Michigan State. You go into Michigan State with a really, really confident team, not second guessing. Already got 3 wins under their belt, and going in with the same quarterback. There's no question now. And then now you come out of there with a close game, whatever. And who's next? Wisconsin or Maryland?
Maryland,
a good football team, right? Never know where they're going to be in 3 weeks, right? But now you get really battle. Every week is a battle test. But that's if you go 3-0, that's really your battle test. See where you are. Then you mess around, get a win there. And then everyone's looking at everyone like looking around like. You know, like what's going on, right? But that's how it starts. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes that way. I could see it go that way. It's because of the way the defense is playing. If defense wasn't playing on that level, I'd kind of be like, you know, like we'll be lucky. But defense is going up too.
Yeah, and it's a locker room attitude too. It feels different this year than it's felt in some of the years in the past. You know, the way that these guys are, you know, just coming out there and playing every single time. I mean. Sands, like I said, like a couple weeks ago, let's forget about that. You know what I mean? That's a team that's probably going to be playing for the national championship this year, right? That's like way up here. You know, we're still right about here, but I mean, we're definitely in like the top 50% of the country as far as that goes, as far as like teams go with our defense, right? There aren't a whole lot of teams where I would go in there and think like we don't have a chance to beat this team this week, right? And you know, looking at that Northwestern game too, because I hadn't looked at the box score, I just saw what the final score was. You know, by all accounts, Howard should have won the game. I mean, you're looking at it, they had time of possession. There was no turnovers by either team. They rushed for more yards. They passed for more yards. They, I mean, they had more yards and penalties, but only by like 11. I mean, there was all, you know, like where along these lines, how did Northwestern pull this win off? Right. Like, I mean, that's
you know better than to ask that question.
Right? I know, but it's still a question everybody always seems to be asking. Right. So, you know, and you look at it, but that's against Howard. Like you said, FCS school, no disrespect to FCS schools. You know, I mean, I got one right up the street from me in Northern Colorado, right? I mean, so it's like, I love it. You know what I mean? There's some good teams out there. There's some good ball players, you know, that come out of those schools, as we already know, because we got one right here, you know? So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you know, a team like Northwestern, you know, you should be outclassing him. Is that your cat? Did he just attack you?
No, we attacked the other one. I couldn't mute fast enough.
Oh, that's okay. That's hilarious. But yeah, so I mean, let's go out there, win the next game, win the game after that, win the game after that, and see what goes from there. You know, I mean, once this team's bowl eligible, they know that they're going to get the extra practices, the extra game. I mean, people are already projecting us to be like at the Las Vegas Bowl. Some people are projecting us to be out in like Arizona somewhere playing a game. You know, I mean, there's all these different matchups that people seem to be putting us in, which wasn't really happening after, you know, week 1 and 2. So it's kind of a nice feeling to be thinking about at least. Although I wish they'd hurry up and get bowl eligible so I could start figuring out where I was going to book my tickets to for the game. But other than that, cool. Well, you know, let's just go ahead. I think, you know, we've been at this for about an hour now. So if you guys want to each give a parting shot, I'll start with you, Abby.
With me?
Yeah, with you.
A win is a win. Stop complaining about wins. A win is a win, and we will take them. That's it. It's my parting shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a win is a win. A win is a win. And, hey, winning – no matter what level you're playing at, I don't care if you're playing in a pickup basketball game, you don't take winning for granted because there's always a loser. So you could always be on the other side. So, yeah, it's exciting. The defense should give people encouragement. Don't jump the gun. And you just got to have faith in the culture that's being bred and the way that the players ultimately, because coaches don't win football games, players do, right? So the way the players are responding, the way the players are holding each other accountable, the way the players are, just getting dirty and getting to it. It's exciting to watch. And I appreciate you for having me on, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate you for coming on tonight. You know, it was great. You know, like I said, a lot of people were going to do the bye week, and I wanted to just kind of, you know, we've talked about it before when you were on last summer, and I said, you know, let's get you back on. You know, we gave each other the what's up as you were running off the field in Rutgers, and you know, it just – and just seeing you out there on I still call it Twitter. I can't call it the other thing. I can't do it.
That's kind of weird.
You know, seeing you, yeah, right. Seeing you on Twitter and seeing your YouTube videos, the way that you've been rooting for this team as a fan has just been a kick in the ass as far as I'm concerned. And I've loved every minute of it. And, you know, so I appreciate you coming on. Abby, thanks for being my road dog tonight. I appreciate it. You know, yeah. Redcast Abby, everyone, if you're not already following her on Twitter. If you are following her on Twitter, why aren't you following me? That's what I want to know. But that's a whole different story. But with that, you know, it's another Go Big Redcast.
A Herd At Sports Network production.
We bounced.